Another Russian expat is in the news today. Her name was Lana Peters, but she was born Svetlana Stalina, the only daughter of Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. She died last week in Richland County, Wisconsin. She was 85 years old. Stalina defected to the United States in 1967, and she spent the rest of her life fighting the shadow of her father's brutal legacy. Svetlana Stalina eventually moved to Wisconsin, where she lived a quiet life. Decades later, she contacted the Wisconsin State Journal newspaper in Madison and asked to be interviewed. Columnist Doug Moe got the assignment. Moe went to meet her 18 months ago at her home in Richland Center.
An article had appeared in our paper in April of 2010 about a documentary film on her life. And there was a part of the article that she wanted to try to clarify that she wasn't happy with. So in what was an extraordinary move for her, she had her friend contact the paper, and subsequently, you know, she volunteered to be interviewed. And I went up spent a couple hours with her in her apartment.
What was that like?
Well, it was pretty surreal to realize who I was talking to. I had heard rumors around our state that she lived here. I mean, everyone knew she had come to Wisconsin in the first place in 1970 through Frank Lloyd Wright's widow to Taliesin in Spring Green, which is about the equal distance, 45 minutes or so from Madison.
Taliesin, the celebrated home of Frank Lloyd Wright, what was the connection there?
Wright's widow had kept inviting her, very much wanted her to come to see Taliesin, and she did, and she ended up marrying one of Wright's apprentices in Wes Peters, and of course that's the name Lana Peters that she used until she died. But I, you know, certainly never thought I would talk to her, so it was unusual, to say the least. However, I've been doing this a while, 30 years, and we had a very nice interview. We talked for a long time, 2 hours.
What was she like?
She was, I would say, quite intelligent, clearly. Big public radio listener, I might add. And I knew what she wanted. She wanted to put her views on the record about that she liked being in the United States, that had come out of the documentary, that maybe she didn't like it so much. So that's what she really wanted to talk about. I didn't know how she'd react when I brought up her father. But she was willing to talk about him.
What did you ask, and what did she say?
I asked her, do you think of him often? It was interesting. She had a lot of photos in the apartment, mostly of her daughter, but some others as well, but nothing of her father. Do you think of him often? And she said, no, not really. And I think her quote was, he broke my life. And she went on to say he broke it twice. She felt that when she was, I think, 17, she had fallen in love, and he was responsible for the young man that she was involved with being sent away to a labor camp, which was devastating, I think, to her. And then also had forbidden her to study writing in the arts at school, which is what she wanted, and he demanded that she study history. So, and then, you know, that's just when he's alive. You know, after he dies, you know, she's never going to escape that shadow.
The shadow, as she spoke to you about it, was what? Because we've been reading where she seems to have been searching throughout her life in many respects, you know, for relationships, for faith.
Well, the shadow, as I understand it, was that it didn't matter where she went. I mean, she said that point blank. It doesn't matter where I go. I'm always going to be a political prisoner of my father's name, and that's a pretty profound quote. Now, it led her, I think, at various times into seclusion. I mean, she claimed when I spoke to her that she wasn't a recluse in Richland Center, and yet few people actually knew that she was there. And, you know, when my piece appeared, my first one in April of 2010, she had asked me not to share that contact information, and I honored that, but there wasn't 2 weeks that would go by in all those months since when I didn't hear from some reporter somewhere in the world who wanted to try to find her. By then, she's 84, 85 years old and not well, but everyone wanted to talk to Stalin's daughter.
One of the things that she wanted to make sure of, it seems, when she spoke to you, was that the record was set straight. And yes, she wanted to be here in the United States. She was glad she defected to the U.S., not elsewhere. But also, it seems like she wanted to let it be known that she was not surviving on the wealth of her tyrannical father, this man who was responsible for colossal brutality in the former Soviet Union. How did she live?
That was the thing she was most adamant about, Lisa. Actually, in the last interview we did on the record was in August of this year, just a few months ago. She had contacted me and said she wanted to do a final interview. And she said, I want to talk to her about events from 40 years ago, 44 years ago. Frankly, she didn't say anything really earth-shatteringly new in that last interview. But she reiterated what she had told me, 18 months earlier, which was indeed that she was living on $700 a month of SSI here in Wisconsin, that everyone who thought that she had stopped at a Swiss bank on her way to the United States and the defection, her plane landed in Switzerland, and that they were mistaken, grossly wrong, that she said that her father thought money was evil. He didn't accumulate personal wealth, and he wouldn't have given it to her anyway, she said. And granted, in this last interview, she was not totally well. She was already pretty sick, but she kept returning to that point about the money. You're absolutely right.
The reports of her death came out about a week after she died. Does anybody know where she's buried?
No, or indeed if she is. As far as I know, that information has not come out, and I don't know whether she was cremated. I know the New York Times knocked on her door, I believe, out in Oregon. This is her daughter, and she wouldn't talk to him. So I don't think that is public knowledge yet.
Doug Moe, daily columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal in Madison, speaking to us about the death of Lana Peters, the daughter of the Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. Thank you very much.
Thank you.